All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown.
God from the impossibility of the contrary. The transcendental proof for God's existence is that without Him, it is impossible to prove anything.
Let every tongue and every tribe responsive to His call. To Him all majesty ascribe and crown Him Lord of all. To Him all majesty ascribe and crown Him.
Call out to our guest, Kevin Myers.
Yes.
Kevin Myers. And he is with, of course, Abolish Abortion Missouri. Hoping to grab him on here. I'm gonna put on my headset and rock and roll. I only ever use one of the earphones. I always keep this one out. Maybe I should do that and it'll look a little bit better. I have no clue, man. So with that said, we are going to call Kevin, and we are live, and I guess you better... Oh, I'm already calling him.
Well, it should... yeah, you got to turn up the volume there. Put it on speaker.
Oh, there it is.
There we go.
Hello, this is Kevin.
Hey, Kevin, this is David Van Beber from the Tag You're It podcast. Man, we are so excited to have you on. Did we call you at a good time?
Yes.
Well, we are live on the air. A lot of times we would call folks and we would like chat a little bit before and then we would go live. But right now, you know, we're just live and we're recording right now. So, man, thank you so much for joining us. I am David Van Beber and this is my co-host.
How are you doing? This is Adam or Ray Ray. I guess everybody knows me as Ray Ray here.
Man, we are so, so glad that you would take the time to visit with us today. I mean, it is amazing to get to talk to you. Thank you for being so quick to respond and so willing to talk with us. You've got our list of questions and we just want to kind of work down them, but first tell us a little bit about yourself. We'd love to just know a little bit more about you, what you do. So please share.
Okay. Certainly. Well, it is an honor to be on the podcast and to be able to speak on this topic. But my name is Kevin Myers and I'm from Kansas City, and I have a wife and five children on earth.
Amen.
All right.
They are ages 6 and 4 and 2, and then we have two twins who are just a little over 5 months now.
It's a busy house over there, man.
Yeah, are you on the Missouri or Kansas side?
I'm on the Kansas side, but I was born in Missouri.
All right.
So well, I was born in Kansas, but I'm on the Missouri side. So, yeah.
Sweet.
Well, man, thank you so much. Let's just go ahead and get on right down to some of these questions, if that's okay. So we want to know, because we don't know what Abolish Abortion Missouri is. So tell us what it is and tell us a little bit about it. Give us some background if you have a chance.
Okay, certainly. Abolish Abortion Missouri is a group of Christians who desire to see abolition of abortion in the Show Me State. And so it's just Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, who realize that children are being murdered and that our society and our government is protecting it as if it is health care, when in reality it is homicide in the worst degree. Mm-hmm. It's attacking the weakest and most innocent of victims, who are the most targeted people group in the state of Missouri. The pre-born. And so we as Christians want to love our neighbors as ourselves.
That's right.
And so as a Christian, I have to recognize that is the second greatest commandment. And if I'm not doing that, then I'm really not loving the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so if I was going to be dragged into a building to be hacked into pieces or poisoned to death or burned in chemicals, I would desire that someone would, first of all, would be at the sidewalk at the place where I was going to be killed, pleading for my life. If the society at large, the government said, we're not going to protect, we're going to dehumanize that person and say it's okay to kill them, I would want someone to plead for my cause, and I would want the people of my society, the people in my culture, most especially the Christians who know the truth, the true God, and are walking with Him, to raise their voice and call for justice and protection for the innocent.
Oh, man.
And so if those are things that I would desire for myself, and I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself, I cannot do less.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit. You've been working with Abolish Abortion for how long? When did you guys get started? And tell us maybe some of those folks who have begun with you and where it started out of.
Certainly. Well, I started going to the Gates of Death at Abortion Mills back in 2005 or 2006 down in Florida. And found out that there was an abortion mill close by to where I lived. Brendan and I went out there and began going out every week to preach the gospel and plead for babies' lives. And we were the only two Christians who were out there on a regular basis. And we had police come up to us and say, well, this must not be a real big issue for Christians because you're the only two out here. And Pensacola, Florida is filled with Christians. And it just struck our hearts and caused us to desire to be faithful and to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ to also see the cause and obey Christ in that. And so from that time, I went to abortion mills or wherever I was. I began traveling and preaching and then moved to Kansas City, found that there was an abortion mill in Kansas City on one of the trips going through. Pardon. And then became reacquainted with a young lady that I had known since I was 6 years old, since I grew up in Kansas City, and married her. And we had an understanding as in our marriage that we would seek to be faithful and calling for those who had no voice of their own. Mm-hmm. And so we went there. And so I am out there in obedience to the Lord who saved me from my wretched sin.
Amen.
Who tells me, open thy mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. So I am to open my mouth for those who cannot speak for themselves, for those who are appointed to destruction, for the poor and the needy. And those are the preborn of the poorest and neediest in our land.
That's right.
Yeah. And so...
So now, So I was serving in Kansas City, and then wherever we went, somewhere we'd go to abortion mills. And then in 2016, I went down and joined other abolitionists down in Oklahoma. And that was the first time, really, that as far as I know, that there was a call to abolish abortion in a state. And so I was able to be part of that, to engage with the culture, the people there, and help to call the legislators in Oklahoma which is called, by the way, the most pro-life state in the nation, by pro-lifers and by pro-choicers. But to call them to consider their ways and stop regulating abortion and rather abolish it. And then from that, what I learned there and engaged in there with other brothers and sisters in Christ, then... But we went back to our own states and began to really let people know what needed to be done in our areas. And so that we, that was just 2016. This is 2018. And that in 2 years now there are at least 10 different states that have a movement of Christians seeking to abolish abortion in their state, whether they're doing it through the petition to put it on the ballot for the people to vote for it, if they have that option on their state, or whether there's a legislator who has a representative or a senator who has repented of regulating abortion and seeking to abolish it and put bills forward. And that's what we have in Missouri.
So right now you all are working on some laws and some legislation here in Missouri so that abortion can be abolished just like what has occurred there in Oklahoma. So then the real question is, what can we begin to do?
Okay, well, I have to say that we need to be raising our voices. I mean, first of all, we need to understand what's going on and the right way to deal with this evil. Abortion is not a political issue. It's not a moral, controversy. Something that's just for to be thrown back and forth by political parties for them to get votes. It's not something for for people to try to get votes on.
And would you say that that's one of the biggest issues, is that we have these folks that say they're pro-life, 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 but they don't do anything?
Yes. Well, they can just toe that line, check that box, and make it as if they are they're going to do something about it. But then when we find that when they do something, that something is actually regulating it, treating it like healthcare instead of like murder. We've had hundreds of pro-life bills passed in our country, and none of them that have been passed have ever treated abortion like murder.
Yeah.
We've never done that. And so we treat it like healthcare, which is what following what the pro-choicers say. And so what we need to do is we need to tell the truth. We need to treat abortion like what it is and treat the preborn like who they are, children made in the image of God.
Amen.
And so basically you're saying, I mean, like, so when it comes to end abortion or, you know, your abolish abortion thing, you know, I was looking at your website. And, you know, it's a gospel centered. You said that it starts with the gospel and it ends with the gospel. And so, you know, we're saying that the gospel is the difference really between what you're doing and what, the politics of the times is doing. Cause they don't have that objective reality to be able to discern what we should do about this issue. So can you go into more detail about, you know, the differences that you can see coming from the gospel centered approach versus our sort of man centered trying to just deal with it approach, like the pro-life movement?
Yes, when we take a look at abolition versus what the pro-life movement has its status quo or its accepted wisdom, we find that there are differences, and if you go to my blog site, if you want to do that, it's called timetowinabattle.blogspot.com, and looked up the tenets of abolition, then they would see the five tenets, and then as they read, it counters it with how the pro-life movement has opposed abortion. So that might go into more detail. But the difference between abolition and the pro-life groups is, first of all, a question of foundation. And so for pro-life groups, pro-life organizations, that you can be pro-life for any reason. There are people who are pro-life because they just don't, they think it's not very, it's kind of gross. There are people who are pro-life because they are evolutionists and they don't think we should be cutting off our species. We should be getting the seed out there. Mm-hmm. There are homosexual pro-lifers, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. It's much of it is funded and put and promoted by the Catholic Church, which also doesn't have the gospel. And
Amen.
So there's you can be pro-life on all types of ground and all other ground besides the rock of God in His Word is sinking sand. And so abolition is based completely. What does God say? And so we have that foundation that these children are made in the image of God, and they are being murdered in the very place where Jesus Christ was incarnated, where He entered the womb to redeem the world. And so, we can also use science and logic, and we can use those arguments as well. But those arguments only make sense in a biblical worldview.
Amen.
They don't really have a basis if there's not that foundation for knowledge, which is God and His Word.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say then to someone who wants to join the pro-life movement rather than the abolitionist movement? What would be the things that I could tell them in order to persuade them, no, you're not really doing anything? Like, how would I engage that person? Because I have people come to me, I have people even in my church say, well, hey, why don't you join this group here with these Catholics who want to make it harder for abortion? We want to be pro-life here. Again, what do I say to those people? How do I engage those folks so that they know, no, we want to abolish abortion. We don't want to deal with anything that is going to regulate it.
Right. Well, one of the ways is to really show what the regulation is actually doing. You see, for a lot of times, people who are pro-life and many Christians are silent about it. They don't know what to say, or they just don't have time. They don't take the time to really find out, or take time to speak up. And so the church has, in many ways, been silent about this Holocaust and what we need to do. And we've also been absent from the engagement in many ways. Mm-hmm. So then, when we want to, when we realize we should be doing something, many times from the decades, Christians got involved to say, "I'm going to fight against abortion." They joined the people who were doing something,
yeah,
for a life, mm-hmm, movement, and then they were being taught how to oppose abortion by people who were the quote experts, but were not seeking to do it in a way that was trusting God's providence, saying we're going to do what He says and trust that God's work done God's way will work, but follow a pragmatism that says I'm going to do what the experts say will work. And so they were just trained thinking that they were learning how to do it the right way, but actually learning how to do it in a compromised way. And it's not right to fight wrong using methods that God calls wrong.
Amen.
Yeah, and I guess, yeah, this would be another great implication of Proverbs 26, 4 and 5, again, just with our apologetic approach. Don't answer a fool according to his folly, lest ye be like him. So what these people are doing, they're going and joining the fool in their folly and becoming, yes, just like them, instead of answering the fool according to their folly, lest they be wise in their own eyes. So you're basically saying, you know, we're joining politics, we're joining this group over here, whenever we're just supposed to be doing this as the church. We should not really need the aid of the government really to get something to go. We can in-house talk about this, you know, expound the scriptures to the congregations if you're a pastor on this issue, yes, and then gather the church together. You know, we have a cooperative program as an SBC. You know, why isn't the cooperative program going, hey, here's how we can use the funds that are coming in to not just do missions, but also to do the mission in our own home where we're saving the lives of children. Stuff like that.
When we take a look and we're seeing what does it look like to be a Christian in a culture that murders its children? And it brings to mind other times in history, for instance, when Amy Carmichael went to be a missionary in India, and she was sharing the gospel, and she found out that there were children, hundreds, thousands of children who were brought to temples to be in slavery in there, in prostitution. And so she did two things about it. She went and she assisted. She went in there dressed as a native. She went in and she rescued many, many children from the temple, and found homes for them, raised them, taught them to the knowledge of the Lord. So she did that assistance. And then she did the other thing. She agitated. Mm. She went to the culture and she said, this is what's happening inside. She did what Ephesians 5 says when it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Bring that to light. Expose the evil. And so she was going out and she was telling people, this is what's happening. And many people didn't want to hear. There are many people who said, oh, it can't be as bad as all that. But she went to the people, she went to the Christians, she went to the magistrates, calling on them to end it. And in her lifetime, temple slavery became abolished. It had been going on for centuries. Yeah. But because of her faithfulness, God used that to abolish that evil. Yeah. Mary Slessor went to Calabar, and she is this young missionary. She goes in there, goes into the jungle where others had not gone before. She found that in those cultures, children, if twins were born, they believed that one of them was the child of a devil, and so they would kill both of them because they didn't know which one was. So they dehumanized that child. Those children, let them out of the jungle to be killed. What did she do in that culture? It had been going on for hundreds of years. It was allowed by the government. She went and she rescued those children out of the jungle. She searched them out.
And there it is.
She raised them.
Just like the...
And she assisted... Go ahead.
Yeah, just like the old hymn, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. I mean, again, that is our call. And that's the issue with the pro-lifers and the pro-life movement is they're just standing there and trying to use legislation, they're not being agitators, and that's what we're called to do, and that's one thing that I really like about this abolish abortion movement. So what are you doing to agitate, and what can we start to do right here in Springfield to agitate?
Yeah.
Because we have a Planned Parenthood here, and while they don't do abortions, they do do, like, next day pills and stuff like that.
It's the medication right now, but it has been in the news that they will bring in.
Which also can cause abortions at the younger ages.
Yes.
And so, but you're right. They don't do the surgical abortions there.
Yeah. Not yet. But they
move them up to where we are. But yes, I've heard that Missouri is.
Yeah, we will get
kind of. There's some vaunting of themselves and Planned Parenthood to have more in the Show Me State.
Yeah.
But what we have to recognize is that there are various spheres that we. When to be able to speak the truth, not just at the abortion mills themselves. There needs to be a presence of representatives of Jesus Christ standing at the gates of death, and people can do that. That's not something that is hard. Anyone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior can go there and stand and do basically like you know, I have like five P's that we do when we go to the abortion mill. We preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
We plead for the lives of little children. We provide help, resources, information for those who talk with us and turn from that. We pray mightily for God to work, and we seek to provoke hearts of those going in, those who work there, and provoke the conscience of the people passing by with signs, with preaching to them as well, with literature. So we say, well, how can we agitate a culture that is at peace of child sacrifice? First of all, there is at the abortion mill. Not everyone is living close by where there is a freestanding abortion mill. But we are all in a culture that is at peace with it, that is tolerating it. And abortion will be abolished when we, as a culture, cease to tolerate it.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we need to do is we need to bring that to people's minds, because many people think, well, as long as I'm just pro-life, in my opinion, then I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Or as long as I have a one Sunday a year that we talk about it, then that's enough or sufficient. But we need to be about our Father's business. And He tells us that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And so these children are you could say the most fatherless. They have been abandoned by parents to be killed. And so we are to say, hey, what am I to do? How can I love my neighbor? How can I do what God says? He says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. So there are ways that we can bring the subject up. And so some of those is by having things you can wear, so that when I go out, almost all the time, I'm probably going to be seen wearing an abolitionist shirt. And there are shirts that have...
Where can we get those?
That is AHAgear.com.
Can you get us a link to that on the Tag Your It website? We want to make sure that we're promoting that and your blog. And if you don't mind just giving us those links through your messenger so we can get them posted, because we want to make sure that we're getting this out. Because in the little town that I'm a pastor of, I'm a pastor in actually a rural town, Buffalo, Missouri. It's just a little bit north of Springfield. And they are, of course, working. There is a pro-life group working there in Buffalo. I don't want to partner with them. I have zero desire to partner with them, because just as you have said, and you're not the only person that I've heard say this. Again, I'm a big fan of Jeff Durbin and what he does. And when I saw you, I just thought right on about what Jeff was doing. And I don't know how familiar you are with End Abortion Now movement. But, oh man, thank you. I just got that link. Thank you.
I actually went down to the Abortion Now conference that was held last year, and got to be part of that and see what they're doing. Very grateful for the good that they are doing in encouraging and equipping churches to stand at the gates of death.
Yeah.
So there's going to the abortion mills. There's wearing apparel that declares truth and destroys mis- misinformation. And I've had conversations with people just because they saw my shirt. I also carry literature with me so that I can give it to them when those conversations happen, or I can start the conversation. There are there are what we call drop cards.
Yes, sir.
Which are small cards that that you can just put places where people will find them. And then that can be a to seed the culture to see, hey, this is something, where do I stand with this? They can go from there to a website. They can see the gospel on there. They can be confronted more about the Holocaust they're living in and practical biblical ways to be able to confront it and to engage for abolition. And there's also what I do with my car. I make my car into when I park somewhere, I put up a sign, and I'll make a sign made of like a poster phone board, and I'll write a statement that says, you know, what are you doing about child sacrifice in Kansas City?
Yes.
And put it up in the windshield. I'll put up just signs around in my car. So because I find that when I'm going somewhere and I'm walking by, I notice bumper stickers. I see them and I'll read them if I can.
Yeah, right on.
Oh, I wonder what this person believes. This person obviously is taking the time to put this on their vehicle.
And yeah.
So that's what I can do. And I can go to work, and I can be working for 8 hours a day, and my car is agitating the public all those 8 hours.
And what would you say would be the... What would you say would be the best way and the best resource, again, to get those bumper stickers? Because, man, that is exactly what I do, is I walk through a parking lot and I'll look at different bumper stickers and I'll see what that person believes. And sometimes I'm like, oh, man, crazy liberal or something like that. But again, when we see that anti-abortion bumper sticker, we think, man, hey, there's someone who's really, at least for me, there's someone who's really about life. There's someone who's really against the culture of death. Where is a great place that you could, again, direct us to get us, again, to that information where we could get some bumper stickers that might even, again, allow us to put a voice in? Again, it's the abolition of abortion movement. This is not a pro-life movement. Again, we're talking with Kevin Myers. He is the director of Abolish Abortion Missouri. We are really excited to have him. First time we've had someone who is about the abolition movement on the show, because we know that there is a Planned Parenthood in Springfield. They're talking about doing abortions there. They don't do it now. They send people up to Kansas City. That's where Kevin is, and this is where Kevin is, of course, joining the fight. One of the things that he has shared with us is that he puts posters in his vehicle that he'll leave. He has bumper stickers, and of course, he wears T-shirts. But not only does he do that, he goes and he stands. And so that's kind of my next question for you is, what are some ways that you have found successful to organize a group of people together?
Okay, well, I also would say that with the signs that we get, and I give you the website for the ahagear.com, which also has some bumper stickers. We have signs that we carry that we'll take out to the abortion mill, and we can also take them to an intersection.
Yeah.
We'll take them out where people will be passing by or at an event so that people can see it and begin conversations that way and really declare truth to people and expose the Holocaust and bring the gospel into conflict with that.
So going to jump real quick.
With gathering people. Okay, sorry.
No problem. Just had a person on the on our live feed give us a little bit of a question here. A lady by the name of Amanda Lucas. She says she's a little late getting on, and she wants to know a little bit about pro-life incrementalism. So if you could share a little bit about that. That would be amazing, because, again, I had never even heard of that up till about 2 years ago. And even then, I was trying to, how do I get involved besides just, and I'm Southern Baptist, so, of course, we have our Pro-Life Sunday. And even when I have Pro-Life Sunday, I'm like, man, it seems like all I'm saying is life is good, and we want to have babies, and we want to do what we can to even vote for people who are pro-life. But that's not even accomplishing the task. That's not what they're doing in Oklahoma. They're making it illegal. Mm-hmm. So pro-life incrementalism.
Speaking that, yes, amen. See, with the pro-life incremental tactic, it is saying, okay, well, we're going to try to get what we can. It's working within the parameters of what Roe v. Wade said. And so Roe v. Wade, Supreme Court said, okay, well, a woman has a constitutional right to murder her baby, and so they made that. And so then the pro-life movement has said, okay, we're going to go with that and say, well, we're going to regulate it. We're going to incrementally trim at it. So what incrementalism does, it says we're going to go after this type of abortion or this age of child. And so they'll make a law that says you can't have an abortion unless you have thought about it for 24 hours. Hmm. And so now the idea is that perhaps...
So go ahead and murder someone, but think about it for 24 hours.
So make it definitely premeditated. So it's premeditated.
Right. Right. It actually could make you more culpable for what you're going to do. If we were to say if you had longer to think about it, then you're even more culpable in that way. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that we wouldn't do that for any other type of murder. We don't say if you want to kill your husband, you have to think about it for 24 hours. But then if you still want to, we can't stop you. We don't do that. We don't make a law on our books that says if you want to murder your neighbor, you can't use a knife. You have to use a gun. And so
it's absurdity.
You can't dismember them.
It's absurdity, and it's us submitting to the culture of death, and we're just given a little bit here and given a little bit there. Am I correct in that understanding?
Right. Yeah. Well, picture a tree. And so there we have a tree of abortion. It's rooted in sin. And here we have this abortion tree. It has different branches, and each branch represents a different type or way of causing an abortion, whether it be chemical or surgical. And so what incrementalism does is it will trim off one of the branches and will say, okay, well, you can't use this type of abortion. So, for instance, we can't have an abortion after 20 weeks. And so they'll make that bill. And the people say, oh, okay, well, does that stop abortion? No, they'll just kill the babies sooner. And so then they figure ways to kill them sooner, more effectively, more efficiently, and they get better at it. And so it actually strengthens that tree. I know people who prune fruit trees, and I don't know anybody who prunes fruit trees and are trying to kill the tree.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It further entrenches the tree. It provides time for the tree to strengthen itself and to go other routes. So the incrementalism is actually making an iniquitous decree, an unrighteous decree, because we find in Exodus chapter 23 that God says, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. There are a lot of people who are saying, hey, this might do some good. And yet they are resting, they are pulling away, taking away the protection of those who are more vulnerable. And so, but they're following after many, they're following a multitude who are all saying, hey, this will do some good. Let us do evil that good may come. And that's not what we're to do, because that's not being just.
Yeah, and this is that points out another kind of thing that I've got some people that on my Facebook, you know, like to talk and they like to come up against me, and really they're trolling. But one of the major arguments is well, you know, if you just provide contraception and education, that would vast outweigh, because abstinence doesn't work. So if you give them, you know, education with condoms, whatever, and then tell them about safe sex practices, you know, you're still letting people join evil, you know, and so it's like, you know, they're trying to catch the Christian in the catch 22 of, well, if you would just let them do it, you know, let them do what they want to do and give them the protection. So basically I don't want to deal, like, I want to keep killing these babies legal, but I want you to have, you know, let's let the kids have fun. So hopefully that doesn't happen. But still, I'm not, you know, that's minimizing the issue of abortion. But, you know, I just wanted to say that what you just said, you know, God's word tells us not to join evil. And that's, you know, even in the pro-life movement, and the pro-life movement will be like, oh, yeah, we need to educate our kids and show them how to use it. No. You need to tell them. And it's not necessarily abstinence training. It's God's words training. And it's like,
yes,
don't do it. And you're going to have to deal with the consequences if you do something.
Yeah, so here's one thing I want to jump in, Kevin, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
I have a real respect for individuals who can stare down people in the face of evil and advocate for justice. We are so thankful for your time, but we'd really like to know, like, share with us an encounter that you would say is either typical or very memorable that you've had, because when you're standing in front of an abortion mill, and of course, I just love that you say at the gates of death. So as you've stood there multiple times in front of the gates of death, I'm sure you've had some really heated discussions. Tell us about one of those, and maybe tell us about some of the success stories that you've seen, maybe through people getting their children adopted. Do you all offer, does the Abolish Abortion Missouri have connection with any attorneys who are ready to jump on board if someone wants their child adopted? Like, what would you do if you stand there with that mother who is pregnant pleading? What have you done, or have you had an encounter where you've been able to share Christ with her and convince her through the Holy Spirit that, no, this is a life, this is a baby, and not just cells in your body? So maybe share one of those encounters with us, if you don't mind.
Certainly. When we go to the gates of death, there are people, and the thing is that, by and large, they know what they're doing. They know that they're killing their baby. We've had people who are very open about, well, I'm here to kill my child. I have a right to kill my child. And there are times when we'll have people who are very heated, very saying, I can't afford this baby. This is not, not the right time, and all these things. And we're going to bring truth into that conversation. And the thing is that when we talk to people and we are speaking with them, pleading with their child, I will let them know that I am willing to adopt their child. That we will walk through with them. They can. There are such things as open adoptions where they can have a relationship with their child.
Yeah.
There is no good reason to murder an innocent person.
That's right.
You said I'm the director of Abolish Abortion Missouri. I don't have that title. We're just Christians who are going out and doing that. But we are Christians, and as we are together in a community, as a society, we're all doing what we can to help those who will repent of what they're planning to do. And so there is a fellowship, a body in our area, and others who will come along. And so when a mom turns, we'll have a baby shower for them. We'll just bring gifts galore and provide diapers and share the gospel with them.
There's a place where people could get involved right there through Abolish Abortion. And so when you have that mother, you can already direct them, look, I've got 500 people on our Facebook group who want to love this child, who want to make sure that you have a healthy pregnancy, who want to even, gosh, I'm certain the great collaboration effort is, we will pay for you to, we'll pay for your gas, for your doctor's appointments, we'll pay for the child to be born. And that's kind of what you all are doing with Abolish Abortion Missouri, correct?
What we're doing is we are offering help. We are offering assistance in whatever way that we can, and one of the churches in our area have kind of laid out the steps so that if there becomes necessary, someone who wants to adopt their child out, that we can walk them through that at no cost to them.
Amen.
The thing is that what we have found is that in many times adoption is not really the what they'll most often go to in our experience. In fact, we have a lot of people who say, I'd rather murder my baby now than abandon my baby for adoption. And because then they'll have carried their child longer, and so then they'll feel more of a connection. And because of their selfishness, they don't want to have to do that. So they'd rather have their child ripped in pieces. Mm. But when parents repent. It's amazing to see how often people who are saying that money is the issue or this is the issue, when they turn, they say, no, actually we can handle it. Actually, we are, their excuse was an excuse. That many times that they'll say, no, we're going to have this baby. And really God gave them that child. And so that's the ideal, is for them to be able to raise that child and know their baby.
Yeah. Right on.
But let me tell you a story.
Please.
We were standing outside a small abortion mill in KCK before it closed. We were there for over 3 years. And we went and we're standing there, and a Hispanic couple were walking toward the door. And we ran right over to as far as we could go on the property line, and we called them, and they came over to us. And so my wife talked with the wife, and I talked with the husband, and there was a language barrier. There was, they didn't know a lot of English, but we just played with them, talked with them, shared truth with them, and the, several times the manager came out and tried to get them to go inside, and they never ever even went in, and we just talked with them, and she was watching him, and they both turned from the killing, and just happy tears just coming down their faces when they repented of what they knew was wrong, and they turned from that. We were able to help them and have baby showers and just be able to bless them and continue to give them truth in their language for the gospel. There's another. There was a girl who came and she had just found out that she had twins, and she was planning to abort, and when she found out there were twins, she said, I got to think about this. And so she was leaving as I was coming up, and she stopped and talked to me, and I was able to bring the gospel right into her life. She was not a Christian. She was not living for the Lord at all. And she heard the truth. And so then I gave her my wife's number, and then they were able to talk. And my wife was also pregnant with twins at the time. And so we've just been able to minister to them. And sometimes we have people who choose not to have abortions, and they're getting excited about their child, and that we're able to help them all along the way. And there was another couple that came, and they heard me preaching, and they came out and stopped and talked with me. And as they talked with me, they shared that they had killed. They were not going to have the abortion. They were not going to do that. They had an abortion like 6 or 8 months before that. And so I was able to share with them that that was murder, that they had killed their child, and that they needed to repent of that. And even as this child that they were repenting of planning to kill, this was a human being, so is that child, and needed to repent of that and turn to Christ and just really be able to lay out. And weeks later, I was able to meet with the father again over a meal and just invited him to eat with me and just laid out the gospel. This is the gospel. I want to give you the truth and lay it out there, not pulling any punches. And so just really able to lay it out to these people as their neighbors, that we are Christians who have been saved from our sins, and we desire that they would hear the truth and that they would repent and believe the gospel.
Man, I just love that you have been able to, again, not only evangelize and save physical lives at the same time. For me, that's such an amazing, amazing testimony to what you guys are all about. And so here is, again, I know we've been bothering you for about 40 minutes, and man, we're so thankful, brother. So, so thankful. And we're looking forward to having you here in Springfield with us. Mark your calendar, November 3rd. We've got a table for you at the Apollicon Conference, yeah. And we'll be in contact with you on that, because we definitely want you to come, and we want you to say something there. And so we're so grateful that you would be willing to come. And I know you probably have a great setup, but we would just invite you. We'll give you prime real estate for sure, because we want you there. We want your message. And we want to partner with you the best way we can. If you are planning to come down, heck, maybe we should even organize with you to come down and do something here in Springfield sometime in the near future, because I am certain that there is a community of folks here who would stand with you and even learn from you, because that's a powerful thing, and we want to not only encourage you, but we want other people to jump on side and jump on board with us. So if you're listening to the podcast today, if you're watching it live, we want to ask you to go to Abolish Abortion Missouri. And of course, we will have a link to that. We'll have a link to Kevin's blog and some of the resources that he uses. And we want to invite you to join that, because when Kevin stands at the gates of death, which is an amazing way to put it, so powerful, when he stands at the gates of death and pleads for the life and for the soul of individuals, he does so because we're commanded to as gospel people, as God-fearing people, and he needs people to join him. That community, and it's a community, not an organization, a community gathers around these people. And so, Kevin, we imagine that you put out, whenever you are standing there, after you've stood there and you've had a conversation and this young lady has said, yes, I will keep this child, you put out there your needs. Is that correct? And that's a way that we can help in this task. Is that correct?
That is something that can be done. What I'll do is I'll put it out for people to know, so they can praise the Lord and then pass find out what her needs are, because it varies with different ones.
Yeah. So,
but I can certainly put that up.
Please do. And here's what we'd ask you to do. If you get a chance to like the Tag Your It podcast, please share. Once we have the actual podcast up, we'd love for you to share it. And again, our plea is going to be for people to like you guys. And then also, if you can put out needs and even post them as a message to Tag Your It, we'll put it right on our podcast that day. That's an easy thing to do. So for example, if you run into Jane Doe and she's going to save her child, God has used you providentially to stand in front of the gates of death to persuade her to save this life. Jane Doe comes back and you say, okay, we need these things for Jane Doe. Man, you send us a message on the Tag Your It podcast and we will put it out there to the folks that we have to connect with you. We want to do that as best we can. That's one thing we can promise you that we can do. We are so grateful for you. And you have you want on here for an event to publicize it. You have our resources. And
yeah, if you do any sort of speaking, I mean, this is one of those things that I'd like to, you know, call out to the church, anybody that's a pastor, anybody that can talk to their pastor, you know, go here, see if you can invite anybody a part of this to your church to speak on it and challenge you guys. You know, I need to be challenged. Everybody needs to be challenged on this so that the church acts like the church, because we don't need, I mean, the government, we're supposed to submit to the government, but also we don't need the government because our God supersedes that. And so we need to act like the church, and we need to, you know, like Dave was talking about, if they can put up somebody online that we could send stuff to make sure that that person has what they need to take care of the child and bring her into the community of the church, so that it's a lifetime of care for the woman and the child.
And Kevin, what I get from you is we have to be the church and quit trusting in politicians to just get our vote and pass legislation to make it a little bit harder to get an abortion.
Yeah.
Right. And what we are to do is to contact those legislators and call on them to do the duty that they have before God to protect the citizens in their jurisdiction. And so what we are doing with the bill HB 1751, which is the abolish the bill of abolition in Missouri right now, is to call them and say support this bill, because they need to hear from the people what to do. Because right now they're hearing what the lobbyists are telling them, what the pro-life organizations are telling them, and what the people who are being told by pro-life organizations to say, hey, put this bill in to make sure babies are being killed in clean places. And so those kinds of things, we need to have them hear the voice of the people that put them in those offices, so that they actually know that they're going to be accountable, not just to people, but to the God who put them in that position.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so,
and you can find more about that bill on abolishabortionmo.com.
Okay. abolishabortionmo.com. So we need to put a charge to all who are listening to the podcast, here is a chance for you to put your faith in action. You need to get on abolishabortionmo.com. Simply Google Abolish Abortion Missouri. And then you need to call your representative, and we need to push this through. This is happening in the great state of Alaska. I mean, it's so crazy. There actually is a governor running in Alaska, Michael Sheldon. He is, again, running, and he is wanting to abolish abortion in Alaska. Right now in Oklahoma, there is a serious election going on where a pro-life, but an abolish abortion candidate is running. This is a real thing, and Christians can do this state by state. Hey, thank you so much, Rick, posting abolishabortionmo.com. We want to encourage everyone to go to that and just share the heck out of it. How easy is it to simply share something? And of course, you might get some hate back from some people, but guess what? Taking a stand for life is more important than people not liking or maybe mad facing your post on Facebook.
Yeah, and then we can also help you deal with the aftermath of you posting something like that. Anyway, different topic for a different day.
Social media is another place to agitate hearts.
Yeah.
To bring that out for people.
Yeah.
Well, brother Kevin, we are so thankful for you. We will pray for Abolish Abortion Missouri. We hope to partner with you as best we can. Mark that calendar. We'll get you probably about a 10-minute speaking spot on the main stage. Heck, probably right at the beginning of this thing. And again, we are working still on our Apollycon. We are slowly making process. And Kevin, you don't know what I'm talking about, but we're doing this apologetics conference here in Springfield. Sure. It's Apollycon 2018, housed at Emmanuel Baptist Church. We're still working on some of our primary speakers. We have multiple speakers lined up. If you do want to financially support that, we do have a link for you to do that. It is, of course, GoFundMe. Yeah. And so we want to encourage people, if you'd like to see Kevin, come. And Kevin, we'll do everything we can to make sure that people hear your message that day. However many people there are, it's so important. But brother, we are going to let you go. We are so, so thankful for you. And please, I'm just asking you, share this podcast with your friends. Kevin, share this on the Abolish Abortion Missouri. And we are definitely wanting to work with you as best we can. And you have a open window, brother. If you have something coming up and you want us to promote it, call in and we will talk what we can do. So we'll let you go. Brother, thank you so much. You got 5 kids to take care of and a wife. You've probably been working all day and you gave us an hour of your time. Brother, God bless you and thank you so much.
Thank you for the opportunity to share, and abortion must be abolished.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was an awesome, awesome. I'm glad that this is in Missouri, because it's one of those things of, you know, I've been following Jeff Durbin and End Abortion Now. It's like, you know, does Taggy Ritt need to step up?
Yeah.
And do we need to do something? Well, hey.
Yeah.
No sense in reinventing the wheel. So we got somebody. If you ever see that kind of A, and it has an A and an upside down A logo with some hash marks through it, though, that is Abolish Abortion material. So it's one of those things, like you said, go to the website, look at it, you know, buy a shirt, go talk about it. And it's one of those things that, you know, I wear shirts all the time. Like I'm wearing underneath this, I'm wearing a, you know, Be Killing Sin with John Owen, you know.
Yeah.
So, people don't know that. They just see some ninja dude with a Puritan guy's face on it. You know, what is that? So, you know, just any little thing that you can do to start the conversation, have it. Be gentle and respectful.
That's right.
Make sure, you know, they're, you know, the person that you're talking to is an image bearer of God. Yes, they're in sin if they are pro-abortion, if they're, you know, if you're pro-murder, that's pro-sin, but you can do it, you know, in a wise, graceful manner, and that's the implication of the gospel. The same gospel that gives these, you know, what people out there call clumpus cells value. The same gospel that gives babies their value, gives you your value, also gives you room for repentance. So if anybody's out there that's dealing with this issue, if they've had an abortion, if you are contemplating it, please just know there is repentance. There is condemnation for anyone that is found in Christ.
That's
so
right.
We offer that. The thing is, you know, it doesn't stop. You know, we're not just pro-birth.
That's right.
We don't want the baby just born, and then what do you do with it? That's the cool thing about the church. And when the church is the church, you have a lifetime community
that's right.
around you for needs,
that's right.
prayers, anything. That's what the church community is. So again, if you are contemplating it, if you have done it and you're feeling horrible or you're not feeling horrible, the thing is it's sin, but the same gospel that, again, gives you value, gives that baby value, gives you value, and there's repentance.
That's right.
Right here and
Amen.
Now.
So. And God can forgive mm-hmm. through Christ's sacrifice, mm-hmm. Making us, covering us perfectly is our only hope. So no matter how bad your situation is, I will just tell you that it is exceptionally important that you trust Christ. And so, again, we're not trying to beat down anyone who has dealt with this because, gosh, when we're living in sin, when we don't have the hope of the gospel, or when we're rebelling, my big thing would be when we're rebelling and we're living in sin, we don't recognize the consequences of our sins. And so there is hope in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that Kevin would tell you the exact same thing. And we're so grateful for Abolish Abortion Missouri, and we're wanting to do the best we can with them. So we're so thankful for Kevin and this partnership. We were going to open up the phone lines. We're going to talk about Bill AB 2943 in California, but man,
I think we,
Kevin knocked out. Yeah, dude, he just hit it in the park.
It was a needed conversation to have. So, so what we'll do is we'll just save the other stuff for another time. But
yeah.
You know, we've taken up an hour of your time now. But thank you guys so much for supporting the Tag Grit. Again, we're always going to be in constant gratitude for the grace of God in our lives to be able to do this, and in gratitude to you for letting us do this again.
Thank you for tuning in. As always, we're just humbled that anyone would listen to what we are proclaiming, because we're proclaiming the gospel. And we want to thank you for sharing this with your friends and for those that are within your circle of influence. We're doing our best to try and handle difficult questions. And this is not a difficult question. This is an easy question.
Yeah.
Does life have value? You bet it does. In the womb,
it
is life.
And is murder murder?
And we know that because God says it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, for the Tag Grit podcast, this is Ray Ray.
And I'm Dave.
And Sully.
Deo.
Gloria.
Bring forth the royal diadem.
Thank you, man.